When it comes to weight management, we tend to focus on what we eat, but Noom's approach puts the focus on why we eat. That's a game changer. Noom uses science and personalization to help you manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com to sign up today.
What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is March 14th, and oh yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Did you check out the updated top 100 starting pitcher rankings yesterday? Well, you should have. I put out my top 100 rankings updated yesterday. Lots of changes, which is not typical, but I felt there was a shift in my view of how I was drafting certain guys, and having more discussion over the past 6 weeks allowed me to realign how I felt about certain guys. And also, we have spring training here to give us extra information. Things like Lucas Giolito and Luzardo looking great, and Matthew Boyd and Spencer Turnbull, all that kind of stuff that we've been, you know, shrugging our shoulders to, and now we have better information. So really fun to see all of that in play. Go check it out on the site. But we had new spring training games yesterday, and we're going to talk about them right now. Kyle Gibson, 4 innings, 1 earned run, 3 hits, 0 walks, 2 Ks. I got no word on the slider for you. I wish I did. It didn't really seem like, in the quotes I had, there was no focus on it. And he threw a new one at the end of last year, but doesn't really seem like it's a major deal. So I'm just going to kind of ignore it for now. Framber Valdez, this made me chuckle. And if you know why, props to you when I read out the line. Framber Valdez went 4 innings, 1 earned run, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 4 strikeouts. So here is my timeline of reaction. Huh, that's a really good line, Framber Valdez. Am I actually ranking him too low? Which is silly to say, of course, because it's spring training. And then I realized, wait a second, let's do some quick maths. 4 hits, 1 walk, 4 innings. That's a 1.25 whip, which is exactly the reason why Framber Valdez is not higher on the list. There you go. It's a stupid thing because, again, spring training does not really matter, but this is why he is where he is. Zach Plesac, 2.2 innings, 2 earned runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, 3 Ks. Why does Zach Plesac really matter? Well, it's because there are some interesting options if Zach Plesac were to be so bad that the Guardians say, you know what, we need to replace you with Gavin Williams or someone else, Cody Morris when he's healthy. Not going to happen anytime soon. Zach Plesac has the job. Michael Grove, 2.2 innings, 3 earned runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, 3 Ks. It started an interesting conversation inside of our Twitch chat. And by the way, if you're not checking out the Twitch stream in the morning, it's 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern time, Monday through Friday. I do this live with everybody. And you should be there. I answer all the fantasy questions you want. We go over the games. I do this in season as well. So I'm going to be doing this Monday through Friday all the way through October. Come hang out. What are you doing? It's free. Anyway, we were talking about Michael Grove versus Ryan Pepiot. And I've been kind of like on the Michael Grove train a bit. And this might take him a step back. Keep in mind, this is for the theoretical Dodgers SP6. Because I think that a lot of those guys are going to get injured in that rotation. There's going to be an open spot very quickly. And I don't think that the Dodgers are going to push up Gavin Stone or Bobby Miller right away, which means that Grove or Pepiot are going to be the first option. Which one? I don't know yet. I've been thinking it might be Michael Grove. Didn't do well here. Pepiot has looked a lot better. And we looked into Pepiot a little bit more. Last year, he had that monstrous 16% plus walk rate. Why? Because he threw a changeup 25% of the time that had a 44% strike rate. And if you remember me talking about strike rate at all, I'm always like, oh, he had a 55% strike rate. A 44% is terrible. It was third percentile among all pitchers. Horrible. And that is why he had such a bad walk rate. However, what I've seen from Pepiot in the spring is that his strike rate on his changeup is way up. It's closer to probably like 60% or so. And that's a huge deal when you already have a slider that has a good strike rate and the fastball that has a strike rate. So that walk rate could just go away if that changeup is actually getting strikes like it used to. And that would make him a clearer SP6. So if that's the case, Pepiot becomes an interesting option again. And I would think that Michael Grove is more like the SP7. It doesn't really look like he was too solid in this one, but it's just an interesting thing to monitor through spring so that we have an idea once the season starts. Zach Gallen hasn't really had the sharpest spring training, and it continued here. 4 innings, 2 earned runs, 5 hits, 3 walks, 1 strikeout. If you remember last year, Zach Gallen had a couple weeks to recover from his shoulder. He had a shoulder stiffness. He needed more time. With the lockout, happened to a couple guys, happened to Zach Wheeler as well. We saw like Luis Castillo delayed, for example. And Zach Gallen was affected as well. It might be part of the same thing of that he just needs more time to ramp up. He's clearly not where he wants to be right now. I'm not too concerned. But it is something to monitor through the spring to see if Zach Gallen is continuing to fail to find his rhythm. Corbin Burnes saw that Gerrit Cole was flip-flopped with him as the SP1. And now Corbin Burnes is the SP2 on my list. And what did he do? 4 innings, 0 runs, 1 hit, 1 walk, 5 Ks. Good to see it. Nick, why is Corbin Burnes number 2 now? Pretty simply put, PLV doesn't like him nearly as much as Gerrit Cole. And I kind of was like, you know what? I'm going to go with Gerrit Cole. Going to believe in my pitching model. All right, we have a lot of other guys we are going to talk about from yesterday's game. Some really interesting ones here. And we're going to talk about all of those after this break.
Fads come and go, and nowhere more than in the world of weight loss. That's why Noom has created weight management programs that are made to last. Noom uses science and personalization so you can manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps you build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. And they help you understand the science behind your eating choices and why you have those cravings. Noom's personalized courses are easy to follow and will help grow your confidence with tools you can put into practice on day one. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. And based on a sample of 4,272 Noomers, 98% say Noom helps change their habits and behaviors for good. So stop chasing health trends and join the millions who have lost weight with Noom. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com to sign up for your trial today.
Robbie Ray continued pitching. I did not find what I wanted to find about his splitter. However, 3 innings, 1 earned run, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 6 Ks. Good stuff from Robbie Ray. He had some quotes about how the offseason being normal helped him massively for his pregame routines and his all this stuff about it. What was it? It was like working out and stretching and all that kind of stuff. There's a word I'm looking for and I'm forgetting it. Now, it is 5 base runners in 3 innings, which isn't ideal, but I think we should feel pretty good about Robbie Ray. And if the splitter is any good, that will be in addition to the 4-seamer slider combination. Hopefully he doesn't have to turn to that sinker away to righties, which makes no sense to me. I still don't get it. Brett Honeywell for the Padres went 4 innings, 3 runs, 3 hits, 1 walk. Fine. 7 strikeouts. He looked filthy. The changeup was looking good. Good sliders I saw to right-handers as well. There's a fantastic video I retweeted about it. Brent Honeywell has a chance of being the SP6. There's Julio Teheran. There's a chance that Teheran has it with a new sinker, and they just say, you know what? He has a history of it. We'll ease Brent Honeywell in at another point. But think of the depth of the Padres right now, okay? Let's say Joe Musgrove is in that rotation and fine. You have Michael Wacha as SP4. SP5 and 6 are then Nick Martinez and Seth Lugo. Let's say Teheran's 7. Maybe Honeywell is 8. Morejon got pushed back and out, so we're going to move that one away. Honeywell would be 8. Then you have Jay Groom as 9. Ryan Weathers is 10. There are so many to consider. Brent Honeywell is fighting for it, and 7 strikeouts in 4 innings is showcasing the filth. There is lots of possibility there. 1 whip here, so don't just look at the 300 runs. Honeywell might be finally having that that moment in the spotlight that we thought he would have years ago. Sean Manaea, 3.1 innings, 2 runs, 2 hits, 1 walk, 3 Ks. Now, what is the thing on Sean Manaea? Well, his velocity was up earlier in the spring. We were just hoping it sticks around. And I went scouring through Twitter because, of course, we don't have any other information, no other way to get it. And I found one guy saying that Sean Manaea hit 96 in the first inning. Thank you so much, Jake. I retweeted you, gave you a like on Twitter because of it. I appreciate you so much. If you're listening to this and if you happen to go to a spring training game, sit next to somebody with a radar gun and ask them what that guy was sitting. Please, for the benefit of all of us, if you see it on the board, just tweet it out. Send me a DM, something. It goes so far for all of us. Thank you so much, Jake, for doing that. Sean Manaea, if he's throwing 96 in the first inning, that means he likely is sitting 94 still, which means he is up my draft boards. Very, very fun late flyer, Sean Manaea. Lance Lynn, 5 innings pitch, 1 earned run, 2 hits, 0 walks, and 6 Ks in the WBC against Canada. There's Lance Lynn. His velocity is about the normal from last year. He wanted it to be slightly higher because he was down earlier on in the season, then recovered. But still, we'll take this all day. I like Lance Lynn. I moved him into my top 30, like right at the end of my top 30. But I do like Lance Lynn, especially where he's at right now and healthy and the knee's better and all of that stuff. Miles Michaelis followed for 33 pitches. It was Miles Michaelis. I have no interest in Miles Michaelis this year. I think it's just too boring and there's no reason to chase it in your 12-teamer. I think you can find a Mike Michaelis. I got into a discussion with Fast and the OTC about the idea of Michaelis being, top 50 pitcher last year in Player Rater. And I think Player Rater kind of messes us up because that's best ball and it's not really recognizing. It's just saying if you throw a lot of innings or get a good amount of wins, you're going to be much higher in the Player Rater for the most part. And that's not really how the league works in a 12-teamer. Right. So Miles Michaelis is just not worth your draft pick when you could be chasing Sean Manaea. You could be chasing Matthew Boyd or Spencer Turnbull out of the gate. There are so many interesting options. And if you want to settle on a Miles Michaelis, trust me, we will find a Miles Michaelis on the waiver wire. It's that easy in 12 teamers. Just hang out on Twitch and read my streaming pitchers article in the beginning or just the SP roundups. It's all there. You don't need to settle for my old Michaelis and slot him in every single week. It doesn't do you much good. Christian Javier, 4 innings, 0 runs, 2 hits, 1 walk, and 4 strikeouts. Yep, he is Christian Javier. He actually didn't really have his greatest 4-seamer command. It was a lot in the middle of the zone. He only had 2 hard-hit balls, but lots of sliders in the zone, which is what you want to see from Christian Javier. This was all in the WBC. Good stuff there. Drew Rasmussen went 3 innings, 0 runs, 1 hit, 1 walk, 3 Ks. I still very much like Drew Rasmussen. I am a little disappointed that his velocity was back down to 95-96, which was normal from last year. It's just that he was up a tick or two earlier in the spring in just 5 whiffs, but 2 hard hit balls. Drew Rasmussen still looks very, very good. Fine. We'll accept this, Drew Rasmussen. David Garcia is still up 3 ticks to 95.3 across 34 four-seamers, but the command isn't good. The secondaries aren't good. Yeah, okay, I'm moving on from that. But it's nice that his velocity's back. That's one step. Now you got to do the other things. Speaking of velocity, we have Alek Manoah, 3.1 innings, 2 hits, 3 earned runs, 4 walks, 5 Ks, 6 something else, 6 base runners. Oh, man. So here's the deal. Alek Manoah is still a tick down in velocity. He clearly is not quite complete with the 4 walks, but the slider is getting whiffs. 7 out of 19 slider whiffs. And actually, if you ask me, Nick, what is the major thing you want to see from Alek Manoah in the spring? It's slider whiffs, because I feel like he should be closer to like a 26-27% strikeout rate. Now that's like 23%. You know, people have been saying like, oh yeah, Alek Manoah, he's good for like 180 Ks or something like that, right? 170. He's not really a strikeout guy. And I just feel like, what? His slider should be getting so many more strikeouts. And 5 Ks in 3.1 innings, but 4 walks. It's like 1 step forward, 2 steps back almost. And hopefully Manoah can get the velocity back, can lower those walks, and keep that slider whiff rate up. Okay. Ty Lord McGill. Does he deserve the D? I don't know. I'm not going to say that phrase again. 4 innings, 0 earned runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, 3 Ks. So here's the situation. With the Mets, you got Jose Quintana out for months. You have Kodai Senga already expressing some injury concerns. He should be fine, but it's already like, what's going on here? You have Carlos Carrasco still slightly down in velocity. You have Max Scherzer, who is destined for the IL at some point this year, and Justin Verlander, who we hope can just be a rock for that team. So Tylor McGill is going to get starts this year. The question is, how good are they going to be? Now, if you just look at the line, 4 innings, 0 runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, 3 Ks. Great. We're super thrilled with that, right? Problem is, it was a weak lineup, and he's still two ticks down on his velocity. When I got excited, when he was crowned Ty Lord, he was sitting 96 and touched 99 on opening day with a slider that was getting whiffs, a good changeup down. It was everything I wanted to see. Now he's around 94, and the slider went 1 for 11 in whiffs. That is not Ty Lord McGill. That is Ty Lore McGill. And I want to be in. I really, really do. But until I see that velocity jump up again, I can't. So I'm hoping he's just ramping up a little bit. He's being slow about it. I would think he's trying to earn that job right out of camp so he wouldn't be ramping up. But I can't jump in on McGill at this lower velocity. I just don't think he's as good as we want him to be. But there is also the situation that it is a good schedule for the Mets, and it's a situation if he does get the job, monitor this. Peterson, to me, feels like the guy getting that number five job out of camp for the Mets instead of McGill. We'll see what happens. Whoever gets it, I think, is a nice stream the first week. Braxton Garrett, 4.1 innings, 5 earned runs, 6 hits, 3 walks, and 3 Ks. Braxton Garrett's the SP6, in my view, for the Marlins behind Edward Cabrera and Trevor Rogers. He still is, despite this bad outing. Yuri Perez is a very intriguing one. Don't get me wrong. The second that he starts this year, you want to add him everywhere. But I think he's the SP7. I think the Marlins are going to take it slow, and they're going to absolutely have Braxton Garrett in the first opportunity that they need him. He's down a tick as well. Not really fun, but he threw 70 pitches. Like, he's got it. And the last one here, someone I actually did not include on the list, is Shintaro Fujinami. Why did I not do it? Because I think he's a cherry bomb. And he went 3 innings, 7 strikeouts, 4 earned runs, 4 hits, 3 walks. And I looked at the, you know, I looked at the Savant page and everything to see how he, the game feed, lots of slider whiffs and even the sweeper too. Slider and sweeper being two different things on Savant now. And that's great. I get the feeling that his fastball is not dependable in any facet. That is, when it's in the zone, it gets hit hard, and then he can't always trust to get strikes with it. There's also the splitter, which didn't really get many whiffs, I think at 1. And it's just, it's weird. It feels like almost Ohtani, where if Fujinami goes 45% slider, maybe that works, because it was a super high CSW overall, 37% CSW, and that's 3 walks is weird. That's kind of why he's a cherry bomb, is just he's volatile and all of a sudden, like, he'll lose at bats and stuff. If Fujinami is going 45% sliders, that is including the sweeper, then maybe I'm more interested, and if, especially if that comes with a lower walk rate. But out of the gate, I just feel really weird throwing Fujinami in there because it does have massive potential for disaster. And I like to take chances. I mean, it's shocking, but I like to take chances that have a ceiling, but also a reasonable floor. So you're not feeling like you just got bombed in the first week and this is horrible. And I do worry that Fujinami can be a disaster in that first week. Like, you don't want it to be like Gombert or something, you know, that's a bomb of a start. So anyway, that's my hesitation with Fujinami. I understand people who want to take a chance on it. It could very well work out. It just feels too risky of a proposition right now. But that is it for today's edition of the Plus Pitch Podcast. Thank you all so much for rating and reviewing the podcast. Also, definitely check out PL Pro. We have so many things to help you with your fantasy drafts, including our live drafts assistant tool. We also have projections in season. This is the cool thing. It's not just about the preseason with PL Pro. The entire year, we're giving you PLV-powered DFS projections and fantasy projections daily and weekly for the latter that will help you make your game time decisions. So go check that out and sign up today. It's $20 a month. That's less than $1 a day to help make your decisions and win your fantasy league. So check that out at pitchless.com/premium. But that is it. So my name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.